Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And it's a delight to have you there, whether you're listening by way of radio or the internet. What a joy it is to have you. We want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with Sam Rohr, the president of the American Pastors Network, I'm Gary Dahl, and David Kistler is unable to be with us today. The Lord willing, he will be back with us tomorrow. And, of course, Sam, you won't be with us tomorrow, correct? You'll be involved in a very, very interesting and important event tomorrow, by the way.
Well, Gary, you are correct, and I'm glad there's three of us on here to keep each other backed up, because we all keep such busy schedules. But, yes, I'll be in Tennessee tomorrow. Our newest chapter, the Tennessee Pastors Network, is actually hosting a rally that's going to include Rafael Cruz, with Ted Cruz's father, who will be speaking. Kim Davis's husband, Joe Davis, will be there. Richard Land from Southeast Seminary will be part of it, and E.W.
Jackson.
Jackson will be a part as well, and including some members of the legislature there in Tennessee. The theme of it is Standing in the Gap for Truth, which is what the theme of the American Pastors Network is about. But it's going to deal with the matter of religious freedom, freedom generally, what's happening, and those who will be presenting will be speaking to the reality of the challenge, and then things, in fact, that can be done about it. Then there'll be a large gathering that night in one of the churches in Nashville that'll be open to the public, as well that rally is. We really think, Gary, that it's very, very critical that pastors take the lead and in the relating of truth and standing up and being leaders, not just in the pulpits of America, but being leaders in the culture by taking biblical truth and applying it. And that's really what this is about. So that's where I'll be tomorrow, so I won't be able to be on the program.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because we received an article from our dear friend John Castle on how important it is for pastors to lead and stand up in this culture, because the war is real. And I think that sometimes we fail to realize that the war between good and evil, between Satan and God, is real. And many times, and of course we've talked about that on this particular program, the Christian community is asleep, not realizing that this battle is real. We do need to stand up for truth and righteousness at every turn, Sam.
Well, absolutely. We have no choice. Gary, many deliberate and say, well, what should I do? Should I speak out? Should I just hold my opinions to myself? Well, we're in a representative republic, number one, from that standpoint. That's why we talk about the Constitution a lot, because the maintenance of our republic is determined by people taking the truths that undergird what we have and speaking it to their neighbors and writing letters to the editors or whatever it may be, but at least not keeping it to themselves, certainly communicating it to their children if they're adults and that kind of thing. But beyond that, then it comes to the pastors, you know, and we deal with this a lot. Many pastors think that they should not be involving any real reference to things that are happening outside the church walls during a sermon in church. And we try to say, wait a minute, a biblical worldview means that you take the principles of God's word and, in fact, you apply it to the issues of the day, because people don't live inside the walls of the church. They live outside the walls of the church. Salt is not really necessary, nor light inside the walls of a church. That's important outside. Well, you've got to equip them. And so there must be a discussion about the things we talk about on this program because of a biblical reason, because of an obligation to the continuation of freedom in our republic, but it also just makes common sense. And so, yes, so long answer to your short question, Gary.
Now, where will that rally be held tomorrow? What time will it be? Because there may be some listeners who would like to be a part of that.
Gary, it's going to be, I believe, at noon on the plaza right across from the Capitol in Nashville.
Okay. And then what church tomorrow night?
I'm going to have to confirm that for you a little bit later in the program.
I think it could be very well the case that many people might want to participate, and some of our listeners who are down in that area might want to participate. Also want to mention, ladies and gentlemen, that on tomorrow's program, the Lord willing, we're going to be having Jim O'Brien with us. Of course, Jim is he's been involved with national security for many, many years. Many of you may not realize it, but tomorrow is the 76th anniversary of Joseph Stalin's invasion into Poland that took place on September the 17th, 1939. And the question that we're going to be dealing with tomorrow, Sam, is, are there any parallels between what took place then and what Vladimir Putin is doing today with Ukraine and maybe Syria and maybe the Balkan states and so forth and so on? So I think that's going to be an interesting discussion as well, Sam.
Well, I think it will. And I'm sorry I won't be able to be a part of that. But Gary, I mean, for our listeners who are listening, whether you know, when we look at this whole issue of Russia and Ukraine, or Russia now in Syria, which we're going to talk about later in the program, or Russia and they're flying their aircraft into U.S. airspace and keeping, testing us all the time, or moving military equipment now into both Iran and Syria, it raises the natural flavor of saying, what's happening with the big bear, Russia? And what's Putin really talking about? Now, we know from our work that involved with those that we know in Russia that the entire media there is even more controlled than it is here in the United States. It really, truly, they get one side only. And there, Russia, I mean, Putin has taken a position that he's the moral leader of the world, that he's a Christian leader. He tells them. That's what he's telling them.
Well, and people are recognizing that. Others are saying that. You know that?
Well, I see, that's the thing about it. In the absence of our leadership here in Washington taking the opposite direction, it makes his claim that he is the moral leader almost ring true. But the reality of the matter is, he's still KGB. The plans that are unfolding with him under Marxism and the past, frankly, haven't changed. And so the logical thing is, all right, Are we seeing a rebuilding of the Soviet Union? Are we seeing a regathering of that larger effort footprint of Russia? And I think that's what Jim's going to talk about a little bit tomorrow, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of evidence to suggest, in fact, that that is the case.
Folks, we want to encourage you to be with us tomorrow, the Lord willing. Today we are going to be talking about Donald Trump, and we are going to be evaluating him a little bit from the biblical perspective and so forth. But we are not going to be able to do that today. Not only sometimes, all of the time. What we say in advance is subject to change based upon the circumstances. But we will be talking a little bit when we come back about the presidential candidate debate tonight. You'll not want to miss it if you can at all watch it. It's at 8 o'clock on CNN. That's Eastern Time. The minor league debate is at 6 o'clock on CNN. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from this break. So stay tuned. Don't go away. You're listening to Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
September 16th, 1620. 102 pilgrims set sail on the Mayflower. The two-month journey was beset with storms. At one point, the beam under the main mast cracked, being propped back into place using the screw of a printer's press. One youth was rescued after being swept overboard by a freezing wave. A boy died. A mother gave birth. Intending to land in Virginia, they were blown off course. In that first bitter winter, half died. Governor Bradford wrote, "Last and not least, they cherished an inward zeal for the advance of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in the remote parts of the world."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
We the People t-shirts, where freedom is always in style. Famous quotes from patriots throughout U.S. history printed on the back of our t-shirts. We do over 25 quotes in a variety of colors. High-quality t-shirts with a meaningful message that make people think. Encourage others by reminding them about patriots of conviction who have gone before us. Order directly from wethepeopletshirts.us. For more information, call 757-645-8878.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. I want to encourage you to go to our radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. That's sort of easy to remember, www.standinthegapradio.com. There you can learn about this program. You can learn about the hosts, that is, Brother Dave and Brother Sam and myself, And you can even correspond with us through that particular website. And I would encourage you to do that. If this program is something that encourages you, informs you, blesses you, challenges you, whatever the case may be, we would love to hear from you. That is, of course, at www.standinthegapradio.com. Well, Sam, tonight is the second major presidential debate, particularly amongst the Republicans, specifically amongst the Republicans. And it's interesting to see how things have changed somewhat since the last debate on August the 6th. I think that one point of reference is to recognize that since the last debate, Ben Carson has really made a huge leap forward. As a matter of fact, as of this morning, it appears as though in a poll that was taken, Donald Trump is at 27% and Ben Carson is at 23%. You know, that is people being polled saying, rendering their support, you know, saying that this is my guy or whatever the case may be, however you'd want to interpret that. But it was also interesting, Sam, to note that in another poll that came out this morning, 56% of the people say that Donald Trump is not qualified to serve as president. And so how would you reconcile these figures? He stands at 27% in a poll that was taken amongst the Republican voters, but then you've got 56% of the people saying that he's not qualified to serve as president. You are our onboard politician. How would you reconcile that in your professional opinion?
Well, Gary, there are a couple of ways. Number one, some of these are what are listed as likely voters, and some of them are Republican voters. And I'm not quite sure, because many of these polls are happening, I'm not quite sure which ones you qualify, which ones you cited there. But the difference comes in this area. There, many times polls can be almost a can be a reflection of sometimes current popularity and name recognition. That's what Hillary Clinton has been enjoying for a long time. Everybody knows her name, but if you ask them on the street, what do you know about them? They don't know anything, and so. So some of this is because Trump is known, and therefore there is that built-in advantage that he has, number one. Number two, then there are things that people follow relative to positional agreement or that kind of thing. And I think that that's part of what you're seeing Carson rise. But if you what I've seen in these two, Gary, is that for those who say he's not qualified, most of those tend to be following the idea that he is arrogant, or at least it comes across sometimes arrogant, and has said that he, you know, in some cases he doesn't have any, you know, he hasn't apologized yet, but he will and he needs to, that kind of a thing. those kind of things rub a wrong way with many people, and that's the exact opposite of a Carson. Mm-hmm. Carson is all about an attitude that is much softer, much less direct. Very genuine, very well-spoken, much more, delayed in his speech, which appears to be perhaps a little bit more thought out. Or on the other hand, Trump is very much right off the cuff and says, I don't need a teleprompter. People know that. He said, if you don't know it in your heart, can't speak it quick, then you don't really know it. All those things are true. And so you're having these things work back and forth, Gary. And I believe that some of that's going to shine tonight, I believe. And I think people are going to be looking at that. Are they going to see, for instance, a bit more of a tempered Trump tonight? May they see perhaps a little bit more fired up Carson? All of them are going to be trying to address what is perceived as weaknesses, and they all know it. Their staffs are all telling them. So I think that you're going to see tonight perhaps an effort on the number of these to try and gain some foothold and traction in these areas that are causing Trump at this point to lead and back off and try to soften the areas where he is soft. I think you're going to see that tonight.
You know, it's interesting. I saw a discussion this morning on a news show that said that there are many people now who are coming along and saying that Ben Carson is Reagan-esque. Now, I don't know that I would go so far as to say that. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know, there's a big difference between Ben Carson and Donald Trump. There are those who are saying that Donald Trump has some Reagan-esque you know, qualities. Now, though, there are some who are saying that Ben Carson has Reagan-esque qualities. Your thoughts on that? Do you see a Reagan-esque quality in Ben Carson?
Some. Mm-hmm. And I think even in a case like this, Gary, when all of the candidates would love to be able to claim that they have the mantle from Ronald Reagan, because he was so effective and he was so likable. And he was so genuine. But, you know, Reagan was a Democrat before he was a Republican. All right. He held certain other positions before he really fully developed his conservative and biblical and constitutional perspective. He was never too far off that reservation, but he did make some kind of a transition. So that's where somebody like a Trump can say, well, I held one position, I hold another one now, I'm like Reagan. Carson can speak the language of the Bible. He can speak moral language from his heart. He can speak with an attitude of, you know, real servant. And he believes that. And certainly that was Reagan. That's a little bit tougher for Trump to do. So to that extent, a Carson can be that way. So they all want that mantle. And I think, Gary, they all interpret it probably a little bit differently. I mean, remember, the Republican Party nationally resisted Ronald Reagan. During mm-hmm. his time, they made it so he didn't get the nomination the first go around, but they couldn't overcome his attraction to the people the second go around. And then after the fact, then they look back and they say, "Yeah, we took credit for him." They couldn't take credit for him. And but everybody wants to hook on to what they think he was. But I think it's important as we look at this to say, and people when they say that, "I like Reagan," and if we're going to take and transfer that over, you need to say, "What was it about Reagan that we want to see in these other candidates and see if, in fact, it is there?"
What do you think we should look for in the debate tonight? Is Trump going to be attacked from the others, or will they just ignore him? You know, he says he feels like that he's going to have a target on his back when he walks out on that stage this evening. You think that is going to happen? You know, what can we expect tonight, by the way?
Well, I think you're going to be able to see an effort by the other candidates that have not been able to get really up off of the floor in the ratings to try and appear to be much more bold and forthright. I would expect that to happen because they've got to somehow break into it, and if they don't break into it when prime time TV, it's going to be very tough for them to do otherwise. I think that Trump's people and probably himself are saying, back off of the areas that people don't like and augment the areas that they really want to see. So I would not be surprised if you'd see a more, perhaps, it's some indication that there may be some humility with Trump. I think he's going to have to work on that part because that's where he's weak. And I think that you're going to see probably Carson to be a bit more more direct, perhaps, in this debate, because they really have to do that, Gary. I mean, let's face it, they're in a competition. Yep. They are vying for the hearts and the minds of the American public, and these debates provide the opportunity where they can be seen side by side. And of course, those who are moderating try to take stabs at him and don't control it fairly, well, then you have the kind of thing we had in the first debate. But this is the side by side. They have to be able somehow to distinguish themselves. I think they're going to be looking for an opportunity to do that.
Quickly, in 20 seconds, what candidate do you think has the most to win, and what candidate do you think has the most to lose in tonight's debate?
Well, I think that there's still a contest between Trump and Bush. And Bush is going to have to do something significant tonight. If he can't get up off the ground tonight, that's going to be really, really tough. I think that from Trump's perspective, he just has to not do things that detracts from where he's already gained.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to encourage you to watch the debate tonight if you can. Some of you may not be able to because of midweek services such as I, but you'll be able to see it later, I'm sure. But it will be tonight. It's 8 o'clock Eastern time on CNN for the Major League guys and gals, and 6 o'clock on CNN for the minor leaguers, and you'll want to watch that if you can in some way, shape, or form. No doubt we will be discussing it tomorrow on the program as well. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about ISIS and the United States and Russia and Syria and all of that. So don't go too far away. We'll be back in 3 minutes and listen to these messages.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Hungarian police hit migrants with tear gas and water cannons at the Serbian border. A security advisor says 20 policemen and 2 children have been injured, with migrants demanding to get through that closed border. Some are going through Croatia instead.
When they get there, they are registered and they will be put onto buses and trains to a number of major cities. The Croatian government has said it is going to assist on this movement of people. And so people in who are crossed through from Greece to Macedonia and then into Serbia are being told, avoid Hungary. This is the new route. It's much, much further.
Sky News correspondent Stuart Ramsey. We'll know tomorrow if the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates.
The policy-setting Federal Open Markets Committee is starting its 2-day meeting. The Federal Reserve is in watching employment and inflation data closely as it weighs its decision.
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland on Wall Street. Right now, the Dow is up 101 points. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. Dave Kistler is not with us today, but we are delighted to have you folks with us. And if you are a new listener, welcome aboard. This program is on this radio station every day, Monday through Friday at this same time. It's called Stand in the Gap Today. It's a It's produced by the American Pastors Network, and we encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about us. We want to talk about what's going on with ISIS and the United States and Russia and Syria and so forth. But, Sam, before we get into that, just a little bit of a lighthearted note. I think you'll appreciate this. My wife Nancy and I have a son who is a missionary down in Ecuador. And he came in his family came into Baltimore last night. He came into St. Louis because he had to pick up a vehicle out there. But Nancy and I went to Baltimore and picked up our family. And one of the things that took them so long to be able to come home after their 5.5-year term in Ecuador, Sam, is that they adopted a little Ecuadorian girl. And so there was a lot of paperwork to fill out, and she had to get a special visa from the American consulate to come. And it was just, nip and tuck all along the way, and a lot of nerves involved with that and so forth and so on. We found out last night, Sam, now we're talking about a 5-year-old little girl now. When they went to the consulate and the American employee there said, "You are free to go. You have got permission to leave Ecuador." She shouted and she said this, Sam. The man said, "Yes. Now I am on my way to the United States of America."
For a 5-year-old, amazing.
Yeah. She wanted to come and see this place called the United States of America. And would be to God that many more of our citizens would have a love for this country like many people out there do trying to get here. You know that?
Oh, Gary, boy, is that true. I mean, as we travel around the world and talk to people, it is very, very clear that this used to be a shining city on the hill. Our nation have been the hope of the downtrodden around the world for generations. I mean, let's face it, most of our family in the past came here for religious freedom purposes years ago, or opportunity to own property, or all of the things that we take for granted. We have been that hope, and we have been for generations the defender of freedom around the world. And God has used this nation to be the, I guess, in some respects, the enforcement mechanism to bring justice against those who have done evil, be it the days of Hitler or Stalin or any of those others that have attempted to take over the world. God has used the United States to step in at those points. And had we not been there, the world would be a much different place. So people do look at that, and it gives them great hope. I think just as we as believers look to the return of Christ and the spending time in our eternity in heaven, it does provide great hope. And when that disappears, life becomes a lot more stale and less exciting, if that makes the word. And I think much of what's happening here, Gary, around the world, we hear it. Many people say, I really don't like what the United States is doing now, and I really don't like what it has become. I like what it was. Well, that should really stir the heart of every patriotic American, every pastor in the pulpit to say, why is that, and what can we do to change it?
Well, I think one of the reasons is our current president. I mean, this is my personal opinion, and that is the idea that our president, you talked about this nation being a shining, like a shining city on a hill, and of course, that statement has been used by various people. I think we could probably trace that back to Ronald Reagan and George Bush the First to a certain degree. But, it has been that for many, many years. But I think this particular president that we have in Barack Obama has dimmed that light tremendously.
Well, they have, Gary. And that statement they borrowed, they didn't come up with it. They borrowed that from John Winthrop all the way back into the 1620s, which I think if those gentlemen, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, then didn't – if they wouldn't have had a vision bigger than themselves and an understanding of God's word and biblical principles that had to be employed if there ever was a hope to be free of tyranny and be able to have, private property and all those things that we have now embodied within our Constitution, had they not seen that in the Word of God and said, we know we can get there if – we do certain things, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. So we look back and we say God answered their prayer. William Penn here in Pennsylvania prayed that this would be a holy experiment of self-government. Well, God answered Winthrop's prayer, the Pilgrim's prayer, Penn's prayer, and we are the beneficiaries of that. But we unfortunately, most people have no clue how we got here. And, of course, if you don't understand where you came from, you certainly can't direct where you're going to go.
That's right, or what you are right now.
Sure.
You know, let's talk a little bit about ISIS and the United States and Russia and the quagmire that's over in Syria right now. One of the things that we have learned is that one of the top ISIS commanders has received training from the United States of America, Sam. Isn't that sad to consider?
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, and people can find it. It's in the McClatchy News reports this. The individual who now is really the leader, Abu Omar al-Shashani, came from the nation of Georgia, involved with the Chechen rebels over there that Russia has really had difficulty with for some time. But he admits that he was, in fact, trained by Americans. A lot of what he's doing in providing assistance, technological assistance and so forth, as far as leadership experience and so forth with ISIS and the groups that are there, he says in here he got because of his involvement in training by the United States. So that is something that is most interesting, Gary. And in fact, what comes along with that is that we're going to talk about Russia coming into Syria, but John Kerry's response to Russia's incursion coming into Syria and Iran with their heavy equipment now in the last couple of weeks, he has said there, Kerry, that if Russia continues to build up some things there, that we, the United States, may have to start purposely equipping al-Qaeda. Now, that's John Kerry just said that. Well, al-Qaeda, ISIS... these groups all float around there on the ground, Gary, and there's something very specific happening that we need to know about. But anyways, we have involvement there. We do.
Well, and you know, along that line, our own president in a particular situation has admitted that we have been involved with training ISIS.
That's correct, Gary, I don't know if we want to play that clip. I don't know if our producer has it ready to go.
Let's see if we have that clip. Russ, do we have that clip, if we can, that the president says that we've been involved with training ISIL? Can we play that up now, Russ?
Moving too slowly, but the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
Speeding up training ISIL forces, Sam, that is our president, Barack Obama, making that statement. I think did he make that at the Pentagon or the White House? Either place, he made it. That is a scary thing to consider.
Well, Gary, it is, and we need to be fully up front here. The White House did come back after that happened and said he made a mistake. Well,
but he read a teleprompter.
He read a teleprompter, and somebody on the staff wrote it there. And so there, it's caused many to say, was that a mistake or was that an announcement? Was that a message given to some? Because when you have John Kerry just last week come back and say, we're going to have to equip al-Qaeda, and in fact, we are training a hodgepodge of rebels on the ground who happen to be maybe opposed to Iran, but they're still terrorists of a different type. And you factor in Benghazi and all the stuff's going on with Hillary, when in fact many of those weapons were being brought into the Middle East to put into the hands of people. And we know that ISIS, Gary, if people remember, went in there and took over some banks in Iraq, and somehow they got over $2 billion of cash, American cash, and they took over and they took equipment, American equipment that we left there. I mean, really, truly. How does that kind of thing happen where the enemy actually gets all of our equipment, all of our cash, which funds their operation and really no one is able to really say who's on which side. But Putin is calling the bluff right now. And I think we can talk about that just a bit more on what he's calling the bluff on by coming into Syria right now.
I have a real important, serious question for you, Sam. But I'm not going to ask it until we come back after this break.
All right.
So get your thinking cap on, because it's a serious question that has detrimental results, I think, if you answer it the way I think you're going to answer it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you'll want to hear this question and you'll want to hear this answer. So stay tuned. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after this break and these very important messages from our sponsors and otherwise.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. We are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
Nations who reject God will get evil rulers, and God is clear that when the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Today, our leaders arrogantly scoff at God and shamelessly violate his commands. And as God said would happen, the righteous are mourning. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. At APN, we encourage pastors to speak as prophets and boldly shout forth the truth to our leaders. On Mount Carmel, King Ahab, the evil political ruler, accused Elijah, the man of God, of being the source of Israel's economic troubles because he called sin, sin. Elijah did what pastors today must do when he declared, "I'm not the reason our land is suffering, O Ahab. It's you and the others in leadership because you've rejected God, his authority, and his commands." I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network saying, modern-day Elijahs are needed now more than ever. Will you encourage your pastor to speak like Elijah?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Gary Dahl, along with Sam Rohr. And before we took a break, Sam, I said I had a question for you, and it's a very serious question, and I know that you'll have the answer. I just want our listeners to realize through this question what kind of a serious situation we face in the United States of America today as it relates to ISIS and our president and refugees and so forth and so on. You know, the other day we had a pastor on, an Iraqi pastor on, if you recall. And, you know, one of the questions that we asked him, Sam, was if he felt as though ISIS might be embedding into some of the refugees that would be coming to America or other Western European nations, if ISIS may be embedding some, you know, individuals within those refugees and putting some Islamic extremists in there to, you know, further the Muslim concept of taking over the entire world. And of course, his response to that was absolutely true. It's accurate that ISIS is doing that. And then we learn that our own president, Barack Obama, is admitting to training ISIS and is stepping up our training of ISIS. My question to you, Brother Sam, when you put both of those concepts together, is what in the world is going on here? Is our president, Barack Obama, working with Islam, with ISIS, to take over the United States of America? What can we expect in the next couple of months of his presidency?
Gary, what a direct question. I give you a prize for asking direct questions. but I think that is what people think about. We have talked on here before much about this administration's connection to the Muslim Brotherhood. In that the Muslim Brotherhood is in the White House. It was the main worker with involvement with Hillary Clinton. They are throughout Homeland Security. That's given, that's stated, that's known without dispute. It's clearly known that this administration took out President Mubarak in Egypt, and who did they replace him with? This administration, a Muslim Brotherhood leader. Mm-hmm. The connection to the Brotherhood is long and established and remains established so. Well, who is the Brotherhood? Well, the Muslim Brotherhood, as we've talked about before, are really the kind of the mind, the strategist, and all that behind the broader effort of Islamic terrorists. They really work with all of these groups, and they fight each other, but in the end, they fight for the same thing. What has this administration attempted to do? If we say, what are we fighting in the Middle East? Well, I'd say that we're not so much fighting ISIS as much as we are fighting to remove the independent leaders of these various countries. Now, think what the administration has done. They took out Mubarak, put in the Brotherhood. The military came back and threw out Muslim Brotherhood, so they're back at that point. But this administration threw out Gaddafi. Gaddafi may not have been the best guy in the world, but he was a friend of the United States, and he sat on top of the terrorist in his country and kept a short leash on them. But they threw him out. That's our administration. Why? Why did they say they threw him out? Never did hear a good reason. But they have destabilized that whole part of the world. Assad, now here in ISIS, Russia comes down and says, we're not going to let President Assad in Syria fall. President Assad says, look, I am the duly elected official. He is. He really was. What's the deal here? Why is the United States and Europe trying to undercut a duly elected leader. And he says, I'm trying to get rid of ISIS too. Why aren't they helping us? Russia comes in and says, we want to help get rid of ISIS. The initial response to that was by Kerry, well, we're not concerned about you helping us with ISIS, so we're going to start equipping Al-Qaeda. Why? Because, as Kerry said, the primary position with the United States is not ISIS, it's getting rid of Assad. And that's exactly, I'm trying to look at the exact word here from Kerry, but that's his point. He said, we cannot work with with Syria and Assad. Said the United States would welcome a constructive Russian role in combating Islamic State, but Assad can never be a member of that coalition. So the administration wants Assad out more than they want to get rid of ISIS. And so what you see happening in the Middle East right now is Russia saying, fine, you say you want to get rid of ISIS. Well, then I'm here to help, because he may want to also. He may. On the other hand, he may not, but this is the problem, Gary.
I think Putin wants to take over Syria. He wants to just wipe Syria or take Syria back and bring Syria in under his jurisdiction.
Well, again, in reality, it already is. The relationship, mm-hmm. the military relationships, the trade relationships, the energy relationships, they're already established between Syria and Russia, and they have been, as well as Iran. So Iran is supportive of Syria because of the connection. Russia has military bases now in Iran and building new ones in Syria. And so that coalition is strengthening. The problem of it is, if he says, I'm here to help get rid of ISIS, he's saying, I'm here to help get rid of those people who want Assad out. Well, who wants Assad out? The United States and Europe, which means the Russia and the United States and Europe are on a collision course in the Middle East. That's what's happening.
Well, I'll tell you what. Number one, I'm glad that that Barack Obama's administration is coming to an end. However, I still contend that something is going to develop, either he will create it or otherwise, that's going to cause him to say, well, we need to establish martial law. And if martial law is established, that means that there would be no elections, at least for a period of time. And that means that there would be even a greater opportunity for Islamic takeover in the United States of America. How far out am I in that thinking, Sam?
Well, Gary, I mean, anytime anybody makes a statement like that, most of the time they kind of get shoved to the fringe. However, in light of what this administration has done to law and has repeatedly made himself law over Congress, over the Constitution, and the fact that Congress has granted the legal, not necessarily the lawful, but the legal ability under certain circumstances for that exact thing to happen, causes any reasonable person saying, no, wait a minute, in light of all of these things that are going on, is that possible? Answer is, it's possible. I certainly pray not, but it's up to God's people, I think, to be understanding of this and be up to defending the truth, Gary.
That goes back to exactly what you said. We need to defend the truth as God's people. We need to pray for this nation, and it's so important. Well, ladies and gentlemen, watch the debate tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern, and that is for the major league contenders, and then of course at 6 o'clock for the minor league contenders. That will be on CNN. We will talk about that tomorrow, the Lord willing, as well as we'll be having with us Jim O'Brien talking about some national security matters. Until then, God bless you. Keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.